Last month, the FCC took the anticipated step of overturning net neutrality on a 3-2 vote, and very soon that means the system in place since 2015 will no longer be in effect. Consumer groups have worried that could affect internet access and will raise prices. A number of states and communities have rapidly been trying to assess next steps, and Montana, thanks to an executive order by Governor Steve Bullock, is the first state to officially come up with an alternative in response to the FCC. With me to talk about this development and what it signifies is John Brodkin, senior IT reporter at Ars Technica. So, John, what exactly did Montana do?
The governor issued an executive order that says any ISP that gets a contract from a state agency must follow net neutrality rules, meaning they won't block or throttle or engage in paid prioritization. And not only would they be not allowed to do that in their contracts with the state, but they also would not be allowed to block, throttle, or prioritize in exchange for payment for anyone else in the state, as long as they have a state contract.
Is there any reason to be surprised that Montana was the first state to take this step? Did their governor say anything specific as to why he felt maybe passionate about this issue?
I don't know much about the politics of Montana, but nationally there's a split between Democrats and Republicans. There's a lawsuit filed by state attorneys general against the FCC. Every state in participating in that lawsuit is led by a Democratic attorney general. Turns out Montana has a Republican attorney general, so they're not part of that lawsuit, but they do have a Democratic governor. And since Democrats are generally supporting net neutrality, I don't really see it as a surprise that the governor, Steve Bullock, would have done this.
So considering what you said about the partisan divide there, I imagine that a backlash by states doesn't necessarily indicate anything about whether net neutrality could be reinstated. I imagine it would have to be something stronger than that, probably bipartisan.
Well, it depends. There are a couple different things. There's the lawsuit against the FCC, which is filed by attorneys general and other parties. We'll try to get the original rules back in place. There's an ongoing effort in Congress to restore the rules. In the Senate, they have 50 votes and they need one more. They have basically 49 Democrats and one Republican. They need one more Republican to switch. And then they would have to do the same thing in the House. So it's definitely difficult. One interesting thing is that if you look at polls, you know, normal people, voters, registered voters, they all, well, not all, but the large majority of them, both Republicans and Democrats, support the net neutrality rules. So the partisan divide is really something that happens in state houses and Congress rather than among normal internet users.
So let's talk about what has happened in the wake of the FCC vote. Have any of the telecom companies actually officially announced they're going to raise rates? Have there been any things so far, I know it's been a very short period of time, that would really indicate that consumers are going to be hit with the worst, as some people were afraid would happen without these rules?
Well, technically, the rules are still in the books for at least another 60 days. It just has to go through this process where it has to be published in the Federal Register. The biggest change that has already happened is that Comcast deleted a pledge that it doesn't do paid prioritization or paid fast lanes, whatever you want to call them, deleted that pledge from its net neutrality website. It says it still won't block or throttle content. And they claim to have no plans to do pay prioritization, but the fact that they deleted the promise would make it easier for them to do so later on.
Is there any reason to think that companies wouldn't want to take advantage of these changing rules?
Well, they will in some way. It's just not, you know, there are multiple ways they could do it. They don't necessarily have to block or throttle. They could ramp up zero rating, which means exempting certain things from caps in exchange for payment. There are several other things that don't get as much attention. The rules, one thing it did was force ISPs to be more transparent with customers, to tell them at the point of sale exactly what everything will cost, all the hidden fees, the consequences of going over data caps. They were required to be more upfront with customers about those things, and as a result of the rules being taken off the books, they won't have to do that. So it's not just about blocking and throttling. I can't really predict what they'll do there, but there are a bunch of like subtle things that could change.
John, does a lot of this come down to states' rights versus federalism and the fact that federal law preempts state law?
So one of the things that this is really important in the Montana case and other states, is that the FCC is claiming that it can preempt states from passing their own net neutrality rules. They're saying that states can't do this. Montana's trying to get around that by, instead of having a sort of normal law, they are saying that if you get a contract with the state, then you have to follow these guidelines because that's more clearly within the state's power. But ISPs could still challenge that in court and claim that it's, you know, like a de facto net neutrality law and try to get that taken off the books. And those sorts of questions might not really be resolved until the court case over the actual repeal is resolved, because at some point a judge is going to rule on whether the repeal and the preemption of states was done properly and whether that can go forward.
John Brodkin is a senior IT reporter for Ars Technica.